It says, for which of you, wanting to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, after he has laid the foundation and cannot finish it, all the onlookers will begin to ridicule him, saying, this man started to build and wasn't able to finish. If you will, help me introduce the title for today's message. Everyone say, count the cost. You may take your seats. Count the cost. A couple of weeks ago, my boys, they were on vacation, and one of our new practices is that we go on road trips. Didn't think I would be a road tripper, but it's becoming kind of the thing that we do. It also means that it's hard to afford airline tickets for four people, and so a car is far cheaper to travel. But as we started to do this, we have all this time set over in the car. We talk about a variety of things, but we started to listen to audiobooks. Great way to try to listen to stories, have our minds taken. And this year, I wanted to introduce my boys to Aesop's Fables. Many of them, sometimes you kind of hear about them, you know, right? This wisdom from over 2,000 years ago, right? It was like 2,500 BC where Aesop pens these amazing fables and oftentimes uses animals to try to bring home moral truths. As I read through them, I was amazed at the wisdom that still was available. How, although time has happened, technology has changed, some of the basic premises of human experience still is true. And one of the ones that stood out to me is entitled The Miser. And so I'll read it for you. A miser had buried his gold in a secret place in his garden. Every day he went to the spot, dug up the treasure, and counted it piece by piece to make sure it was all there. He made so many trips that a thief who had been observing him guessed what it was the miser had hidden, and one night quietly dug up the treasure and made off with it. When the miser discovered his loss, he was overcome with grief and despair. He groaned and cried and tore his hair out. A passerby heard his cries and asked what happened. My gold, oh my gold, cried the miser wildly. Someone has robbed me. Your gold? There in that hole? Why did you put it there? Why didn't you keep it in the house where you can easily get to it when you needed to buy things? Buy? Screamed the miser angrily. Why, I would never touch that gold. I couldn't think of spending any of it. The stranger picked up a large stone and threw it into the hole. If that's the case, he said, cover up that stone. It's worth just as much to you as the treasure you lost. So as we're in this series entitled Money Matters, discussing biblical perspectives on our finances and how we use them, one of the things that I love that this fable introduces, and we talked about some of it last week, is the notion that it is not just how you make the money or how much money you have, but it's really what we decide to do with the resources we are given. And it feels only right that we do another wonderful technological survey to see where we are around this topic. So if you will, take out your phones. We have a Money Matters survey. If you can go to the next slide so I can give you the instructions. If you have a phone, you can just go to your camera. Most of you have new ones. You can just scan the QR code. It takes you right there. If that is a little uncomfortable for you, you can open your web browser and type in Menti, MENTI.com, and then you don't need to enter the code, 8774 and then 5343. Those of you in Emmanuel Everywhere, it's available for you as well. You can still participate while it's live. So we'll jump in. Last week we had quite a few of you participating. That really did my heart well. We are becoming at least a more technology savvy church, and that just blesses me. Amen. All right. Now, you'll still be able to join even as we go forward, but we're going to move forward to our first slide. If you will, next one. What first comes to mind when you think of a budget? And you get a chance. You can actually type a word in and it'll show up. And again, we ask, this is church, so let's make sure it's something clear. Restrictions, savings, plan, frugal, limits, Excel sheet, important, not enough, money, bills, important, tracking, failure, financial, savings, broke, debt. All right? As you're seeing, a number of folks are just putting things in as planning, savings, right? Broke still jumps up there. Discipline, another great one. Okay, I think this is a good start. We're going to transition, move to our next slide. Do you have a budget that you follow? Yes, no, or maybe. Go ahead. Yes, no, or sometimes. Let's just see how are we doing? How are we doing? Okay. We got a majority that are in the sometimes. Like, I know I should, right? I know what I ought to do, however. Okay. Let's go to our next one. Rank the following in order of importance. Literally, if you have your phone, you can just move these up, right? And then you can reorganize the order. And so what you want to do is, what do you believe is the most important as it relates to your budget? Your needs, your wants, savings, investment, debt, charity / giving. Where do you believe that you have the most important? What does that look like? Now, this one might take a little bit longer. It's a little bit more involved, but I trust y'all. We can do it. You can do it. Right? So early on, we have needs and savings. Okay. Wow. Wants are sixth. I want an honest church, Lord. Nobody knows who's putting this up there, so nobody will know that this is you. Okay. Needs, savings, and debt are high. Okay. Charity and giving are fourth so far, investments fifth, and wants sixth. Okay. Just to complicate it a bit, let's move to our next slide. For those of you still working, you'll get a chance to jump on. How do you think God would want you to rank the following items in your budget? Just throw it out there. Just let me know. Maybe it's the exact same. Maybe you have a godly perspective. And God said, you're thinking, wow, charity, that's so funny. Only thing God cares about is the money you give to the church. Okay. All right. So here, we've shifted it. We say charity is first, and charity is / giving, right? So I think we're mixing both of those. Needs, debt, saving, investments. And yet again, so far, wants are the sixth. They are not the priority. Okay. Next slide, please. Do you feel you make enough to support the life, not that you live, that you want? And maybe it is the life that you live. Some of y'all living that good life, right? Let's see. Listen, I'm living my life like it's golden. Right. Who said you need money? The IRS. No, I'm playing. All right. Wow. Okay. So we're almost two-thirds, right? Almost two-thirds say no. Well, we have about a third to say yes. Okay. Next, I think this is the last one. If we provided some financial courses, would you be interested? And that doesn't mean the church is like doing this, but like if we connected with other financial institutions to make some of this available, would you be interested? Because, you know, I have all these ideas. I was up there planning. I was like, oh, my God, we're going to bring these courses. I was like, wait a minute. Last time we did Dave Ramsey and like three people showed up, right? Or we did like, so I want to also make sure like if you feel that this would be helpful. All right, so we have a majority, over 50% say yes, and about at least another third of that, if not more, say maybe. Okay. All right, thank you. We can turn that down. Thank you all so much. I appreciate your participation. And this dovetails well into kind of statistics that have been going around. In fact, at the beginning of this month, CNBC put out this report where they did a survey connected with Mind Over Money through Capital One, just kind of getting the basic perspective regarding resources for Americans. It says 77% of Americans report feeling anxious about their financial situations. 77%, almost 80% of Americans, when you think about or you start thinking about your budget or the money that you have, brings up some level of anxiety. It says 58% feel that their finances control their lives. That your life, if you didn't have to worry about money, you wouldn't be doing none of the stuff that you're doing right now. 52% have difficulty controlling their money-related worries. So, you know, I mentioned this last week, right? Like sometimes some of the things that we bring before God the most often deal with our resources. And this aligns with that. 50% of the people say, man, the thing that keeps me up the most is money-related issues. And some of you may feel akin to that. Americans are most worried about their financial future. And this includes not having enough money to retire. 68% believe that. Keeping up with the cost of living, 56%, and managing debt, 45%. And these impacts, they say, not only affect just money, but they begin to affect other aspects of your life. A number of respondents say they feel fatigued, constantly tired, 43%, because of the stresses of resources. Find it difficult to concentrate at work. 42% because of these concerns and worries. 41% say they have trouble sleeping. Can't sleep well at night. And others say, about 25% say finances stress or strain their current relationships. Spouses, children, all of this. And if I'm honest, this feels very akin to ways that I feel. I think I've told the story when my wife and I first got married, we were so impoverished that every time I did our finances, it was like we would always get into a fight. And it was never her fault. I was just angry, right? I was angry because I'm looking at our resources and the ends weren't meeting. And it felt like, and if I could be honest, right, it felt like the definition I had of what a man was supposed to do, I wasn't doing. And so I was taking that out on her, and it wasn't her fault. No. And I imagine many of us, we all can find ourselves like this. And so in this passage, we have Jesus speaking, and he's literally speaking about discipleship. He's talking really about what does it mean to follow Jesus, that you ought to be willing to pick up your cross and follow God. But in trying to make an understanding and an analogy for discipleship, he uses an analogy that he would believe would be true to everybody already. That God, Jesus himself, makes a connection between finances and discipleship. That a way that you can think about discipleship is also connected to a way that you can think about resourcing. Who begins a project? Who begins to start something? Who begins to go out and do something and does not first rightly count the cost? And if we can extrapolate that, and I think this has amazing import, if we were to think about that for our lives, how are we going through our lives if we're not righteously or willingly able to go and say, how are we planning our lives? How are we financially thinking about all of the things that we need to do so that we can get to the end that we want to get to? Because if we can't, then we're always stuck in the same issue. And so this Sunday, I'm not going to even talk about giving or tithing. We're going to put that off. That's literally 10%. You need to figure out what you're doing with the 90. We act like God, and I know we put that up there. We really think that God only cares about 10%. And don't get me wrong, God wants us to give. God wants us to give of that 10. But that's because we've rightly aligned ourselves already in our 90 that we know how to do that. So that the resources are available. But if we're not rightly able to think about the 90, then all of a sudden we keep talking about the 10% like God is asking so much of us. We feel like that 10% is so much because we've been terrible with the 90. So why don't we often count our costs? Why don't we often think about what does it really take for us to live? And I have some postulates, and I'm going to offer these. I think one of the reasons that we don't like to think, and I'm speaking generally, so there are some of you here that you are a budgeting master. Your whole life is Excel spreadsheets. Your friends and or your spouse, those that know you well, they know that if they ask you to spend anything, the first thing you're going to do is flip open your thing and say, okay, that's not working this month, all right? This is frugal February, and we're not living that life today, okay? Get thee behind me. And then there are others of you where you're like, I'll figure it out later, right? I was literally speaking to somebody, and this is going to sound weird because it's going to sound like I asked them how much they made. That's not what I did, right? Like, you know, we don't do that. That's just like a world faux pas, at least a black culture world faux pas. I don't know if other cultures talk about it. Like, hey, do y'all just go around like, yeah, you know, I make about, you know, this amount of money. Okay, apparently not. Okay, so that's good to know. So apparently this is true for everybody, right? We don't really talk about how much we make. That's fine. So we're in this conversation, I'm talking, and everybody's like, yeah, I don't even know how much I make. And I was like, huh? I'm sorry, say that one more time. You said out of your mouth that you work a job and you don't really know how much they pay you? See, or when you get paid? See, listen, that means one of two things. You rich, right? And so it don't matter when you're getting paid or not. You're like, there's money in there. Or your financial house might really need some adjustment. So as we think about this, the question becomes, how do we rightly plan for all of the stuff that's supposed to be in our lives? How do we plan out the needs, the wants, and then all of the other stuff? Now, if you were to, and I lift up Dave Ramsey because he's also a believing financial kind of encouraging and respondent. And so he talks about, like, if you were to plan out your budget, and this is general, he would say that a good budget should look like 50% needs, 30% wants, 20% savings, giving, and investments. 50% needs, 30% wants, 20% mixed in with savings, giving, and investments. And if your budget is set up like this, typically, you're in a good position. Now, if we were to go online, as I did, one of the major things that they say that becomes an issue for this is debt. Everybody say debt. I sometimes think debt gets a bad rap, right? Because since we talk about how much we want to eliminate debt and alleviate debt, we often wind up talking about debt as if debt in and of itself is bad. Debt in and of itself is not bad, but how we get to it should be thought about. Like, if you live in California, you want to buy a house, more than likely, you're going to get some debt. And that potentially could be a good debt. Again, an appreciating asset in the California market, far more than many other markets in the country. However, credit card debt may be different. Right? Shoes. Purses. Starbucks. I know we need to eat, but how we eat? All of these things begin to add up. The vacation that we want to go on. Because sometimes you could go on vacation, but you can't go on vacation like everybody else be going on vacation. Like, we drive there, they fly. You see what I'm saying? They got the real nice hotel room. We in the motel, but it's clean. Right? They go to all the nice restaurants. We make sure we get really healthy fast food. Thank the Lord for Chipotle. Thank you, Chipotle. Hey, shataba. Hey. I'm sorry. Right? Now, that might not be a thing you throw on Instagram, right? Like, I've never seen somebody be like, oh my God, look at this burrito bowl. Take these pictures, right? You might not do that, but you still get the experience. But this means that we have to change mentality. One of the biggest challenges, and this is what Jesus is pushing on, even with this question, is how are you rightly thinking about a thing? Because if your goal is just to look good or to live a certain way, you'll do things that may not be good for you in that season. Okay, maybe I can help us see this better. I got a visual today, so I'm going to be calling on a couple of y'all to help me. So in the pandemic, I call myself exercising. And the best time I'm using these right now is for this right here. So this is what we're going to do, right? Absolutely. So we're gonna show the ends. All right. So I know it's heavy, but you can do it. All right. Now you hold this too.
Yep.
There you go. All right, so let's say we start. And we're gonna start with wants and needs. Right? And we're gonna act like we good. We're gonna start with needs. So I'm gonna hold the needs in. Here are your needs. And then everything else will be your wants, if the paper will separate when I want it to. There we go. Now, if life was easy, your wants and your needs, you would have enough for your ends to meet. Right? Financially, all the things that you have, you'll be able to put all of your wants and your needs mixed right into here. But if we're honest, sometimes other things get in the way. Can I get a love? Would you come and be a part of my experiment today? And I'm asking you to hold this, not because I'm trying to say nothing about you. But you take the debt thing right here, okay? I want you to hold that, okay? I'm not saying nothing. I'm just asking you to hold it. I'm just saying. And what I want you to do is I want you to grab a little bit of the rope, right? Because this rope now represents all that we have. This rope represents all of our resources. And slowly but surely, the rope gets tied up. So we decide that we want a car, we get the house, or we get some other things. Now this gets all taken up. But, you know, some things you just have to have. And so we got wants, right? But in that want is something very specific. So wrap a little bit more around you because, you know we got to eat. And you see how I look, so I don't just kind of eat. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you better have some cookies because that's a necessary thing. Minister Katrina, can you come? I'm going to bring you up here. I want you to hold on to housing. Yeah, uh-huh. Now, I'm going to slide y'all down because I want y'all to be towards the... No, y'all stay towards me. We're going to act like this stuff is needs. So y'all down here with the needs. And we're going to act like a car is necessary for right now. We're going to act like it. So grab a little bit of that rope and wrap it around you. Okay. Yep. Go ahead and wrap around. There you go. Get you a little bit of that. Now, don't worry. It's too much. But then as we really start thinking, right, we get a lot more to come. Because, I mean, it's not right if you can't go on vacation. Like, who don't go on vacation? You know what I'm talking about? Seriously, let's go on vacation. Bro, Trout, can you come here real quick? I want to send you on vacation, sir. Now wrap yourself a little bit of this rope. Any way you can fit in. Get in where you fit in. Yep. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, if any of y'all are like me, you know you start getting this stuff. You don't want to have to pay for it all the way if something mess up. So put a little insurance in there. So get a little bit of that rope and wrap yourself into it. Uh-huh. You can slide some more down. You still got a little bit down there. Yeah. You got a little slack. Amen. Glory to God. And we're going to be good. We're going to be real good with this, right? We even going to throw in some savings. Look at God. We're going to save. Reverend Larry, come on up here. I'm going to call you for savings, Reverend Larry. Savings and loans. All right, go on, mix yourself in there and wrap you up a little bit of savings. Because now that's going to make sure that we at least got something. Yeah, go ahead and wrap it around. Yeah. Get that in there. I got a whole bunch of pages. And let's say, and we're going to be smart savers, we also going to do some investments because we want money to make money, right? Because we don't want the money just sitting there not doing nothing. And not that save, and we talk about good investments too, because them saving accounts are like 0.5%. That's silly. But if I really think about once though, you know, you got to have some nice clothes though. Minister Extreme, this seems like something I should give to you. You see what I'm saying? I don't know, but it just feel like you should be the one holding this. Get you a little bit more rope in there. Go ahead and mix that up. Yeah. You know, because we've been doing good. God been blessing. We got investments and everything. Mix. Yeah, go ahead. Swip it up in there. Yep. And since we got investments, we're not going to just have a regular car. We're going to get a nice car. So wrap one more round in there because we can't just be rolling out in no neon. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, wrap a little bit more for that car. There you go. Yeah. And we ain't taking no baby vacations now. Come on, mix it up. We ain't going on no motel vacations now. We got investments. We going to big, wrap a little bit more in there. There you go. Yes, Lord. And you know I can't get my life right without coffee. Reverend Selena, come on up here. My life just don't work if I ain't got no coffee. So go ahead, mix yourself in. It's some room for you in there. Yeah, go ahead, get it. Just wrap it up. And you know, it's a daily thing, so make sure you wrap it at least twice. Right, yeah. And so it's a little bit. You don't even drink coffee? Nobody believes that. We all know you. If this is your natural without coffee, Jesus Christ, what would happen with caffeine? And we're going to be good. We're going to put charity and giving. We're going to put that in there. I'm going to let you hold on to that. So we got it. We got it, right? And we still got enough that I imagine if I was to force y'all to move around, we'll be able to make the ends meet, right? But then happens the unexpected, right? Medical bill comes. And we're like, oh God, why does it cost so much to get sick? Like, I don't understand it. Like, what are we doing? And so you'd be like, how am I going to pay? Okay, this is what we're going to do because we need a little bit more to come to debt. So I'm going to hold on the savings right now. Right, so we're going to pull that out. But slide a little bit down so that debt could get some. Yeah, because we got that. Yeah, come on, debt. You be holding us together. Look at God. And then, now all of a sudden, your kids want to go to school. And you have been telling them all this time, you need to be smart. You know what I'm saying? And they want to be smart all this time. And so now it's some more debt. And you like, I appreciate charity. But this ain't the time for charity right now. You know what I'm saying? Take that out. God, I'm going to get back to you. I promise. As soon as we get this together, I got you. Right, that's what we say. So now we do that. And then all of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute. Now we got a problem at the house. The heater go out. Water heater go out. Oh, Jesus. So this is what we're going to do. For this month, right, we ain't going to get the nice shoes. We just going to make these shoes work. And, you know, everybody ain't seen my clothes, so I'm about to re-wear these clothes again. Right? Everything is going. A parent gets sick. And now we're talking about long-term care. And this ain't like a little bill. This is like a long bill. Oh, man.
No vacation.
Yeah, we don't need vacations as much. Yeah, give me that. And no, don't. We don't.
Y'all ain't gonna invest.
Yeah, we ain't gonna invest. So you can hold this with her now. Yeah, you ain't got that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden it's challenged, right? Everything is strained. I'm not vacationing, so I'm already kind of frustrated. I can't get away. I can't break. I'm starting to break out other stuff, and I'm trying to hold on to Starbucks as long as I can. Because these folks don't want to see me without coffee. But you know what? I'm going to be good. I'm going to get Starbucks, but I'm going to make it at home. See, that's what I'm going to do. Right? That's what we do. Right? But I don't want the cheap coffee maker, so we ain't going to eat as much. We're going to eat less. Right. Now I got all this stuff tied up, and I'm going to God saying, God, I don't have enough to make ends meet. God, why am I so stressed? When the truth was, if we had been saving well early, we would have had enough not only to not just stop savings, but to help carry us through. So now what we do is, because we don't want to fully, and some of y'all, you know, we think like this, okay, things are going to get better soon. So instead of changing lifestyle immediately, we keep lifestyle, but we just pick up more debt. Right. All right, I'm going to pay it off, right? I'm just going to add it. So then debt starts to wrap up a little bit more. But now we got all of this, right? And then debt still keeps wrapping up a little bit more because now we keep adding more debt to it because we got to get a little bit more in there and we got to make it work. And now we all of a sudden, now we feel all tied up. And the ends ain't really coming together, so we don't do all the stuff. And the car, I wish somebody would show up and try to take my car, right? And so then we start sliding it down a little bit. We're gonna keep the insurance for right now, but we're gonna take off all the coverages. It's just like, it's just gonna make sure that we don't die, right? It's gonna be basic. We don't die. And all of a sudden, we come to God all messed up. That even if God would want to add some, we got so much debt now to untangle that you get a raise at work and you still don't feel like anything has happened in your life. God has been blessing, but we're so wrapped up because life happens. These things happen. And our budget was never set up to think long. It was set up to think right now. Can we thank God for the volunteers? Y'all can take your seats. Thank you. Like, do you need a car? Maybe Uber might work, right? And we're not going to even talk about what that forces us to start doing, right? Because then sometimes we start driving Uber. We pick up the side job. We do all the extra things, but now we don't have enough time for ourselves. We're frustrated. We're angry. We can't even go and be with our children or our family because all we're trying to do is answer, how do we fit all of these things? The same question rings in our ears. Who begins to start building without rightly counting the cost? I think there's a way for us to shift our mentality as it relates to giving. I mean, not giving, but budgets, so that we can get to a place of freedom in our resources. Number one, comparisons kill. Everybody say comparisons kills. If the only way you will feel successful with your financial status is by comparing it to everybody you know, the folks you grew up with, the people you were in school with, you will always be trying to live a life based on their resources and not yours. That's like trying to build a building with somebody else's materials that you don't have access to. Because we want to feel like we live in like them. The comparisons, we have to be free to let go. And not only do comparisons kill, we have to be free to release our own internal expectations. Everybody say internal expectations. Last week I mentioned, I had this internal expectation. I was going to be a millionaire by 30. For most of you, you know I was delusional. Not because I'm not intelligent and smart, but in high school, I knew God had called me to ministry. And I know we like to think this, but it ain't a lot of millionaire pastors. I know you might not want to hear that. You might believe that everybody is walking around with all of these book deals. But do you know there are probably about 3,000 or 4,000 churches in San Jose?
Right.
Y'all might be able to name 5 to 10 of them pastors. And none of the ones that you probably going to name are going to be a millionaire. If we think about this, most of the pastors just ain't that. So I should have known this going in. My profession wasn't gonna lead me there yet. I was still trying to base my life on what I needed to make by this certain time, which made no sense. I had to change these internal expectations of what my life should be like. And last but not least, I have to be willing to go slow, even when I wanna go long. I mentioned earlier, there's no direct method, a direct idea of what every single budget should look like, but there are moments in your life where your budget will look differently. For some of you, the idea of debt stacking might be something that you think about, which means that as you pay off one debt, instead of reacclimating that money now to more of your wants and other things that you want, you roll it into another debt, now paying down that next debt faster. And then once you finish with that one, you still take that money and now you stack it on top of another one. Now what you used to be paying over 3 debts, you're paying into 1, and over time, this gets you out of a lot of debt. This allows you not to be able to be there. This could be a great way, especially if you're able to couple that with additional emergency savings so that another issue doesn't just thrust you right back into debt acquirement. Which means that where your budget will be now, depending on your debt, will be different than when you get out of debt. That will be different than once you now have been able to put all of your emergency funds in order, right? And sometimes we take the baby steps. It doesn't feel like a lot, but maybe we start with just $1,000 in emergency savings. Just $1,000. Dave Ramsey swears this is a great start. And then after you pay down debt, then you jump into 3 to 6 months. Then after that, you go into greater investments. Then after that, now you're able to lean into some of those desired wants that you might go into. But this means something that you would have loved to do in 3 to 6 months may actually take 2 or 3 years. And that's hard because it has this word mixed in there that we don't like. It's called discipline. And if we can do this in our finances, then we can begin to do this in a variety of other areas of our life. In fact, I think this is why Jesus lifts it up as he talks about what it costs to follow him. Because Jesus desires disciples, people willing to be disciplined, because our faith is not something that comes quick. It comes over time, and sometimes as we continue to add these things on, we keep building and building and building. Our faith over time grows. There are seasons where it's slow, and there are seasons where we feel free and connected. And Jesus says, this is what it means to be connected to me. This is what it means for you to take up your cross and follow me. That literally our faith is similar to our finances, and we need to have a faith budget. That we should be budgeting time to spend with God. We should be willing to look over how we spend all of our energy, and what are those areas, and how do we remove them? Because Jesus says it even more. He says, if you're not willing to give up all, you're not worthy to follow me. So before you jump on the bandwagon, before you jump in without it, count up the cost. Yeah. Know what this will cost for you. But I think Jesus is also saying, know what the benefit is for you. Yeah. If we think about the cost as only the things we're giving up, we miss the full calculus. The same reason that we're disciplined in our finances is to get us to a certain place so that we can have something far greater. The same is true within our faith budget. And this faith budget is meant to make sure that we have all of these things that we can't even recognize and see right now. I'm sitting with one of our members, and I'll do well not to tell his testimony. But it was amazing. He talked about all the ways that God had met him through his life, from difficulties to victories. And he tells me this statement. I told him I was going to steal it. He said, "Preacher, I'm overpaid." I said, "You know what? I don't know if I've ever used those words in my life. I don't think I've ever shown up someplace and say, man, they are just paying me too much." But what he was talking about wasn't just financial. As he started to survey his life, as he thought about the variety of places and issues and challenges that he had been through, and how worthy he was for what he had received, he says, "There's no way that God should have chose me out of all those other people. I should be dead and in a grave. In fact, I know people I used to hang out with, and they're dead and in the grave. I know people who lost their mind, literally are in institutions, and I'm sitting here before you. I know folks that don't have a place to sleep. They're unhoused, but I got a place to sleep." When I think about my life, when I recognize he brought me out of the hospital, when I recognize he got me beyond cancer, when I recognize that God met me even when my family was going crazy, all I can say is, "Breathe. Preacher, I'm overpaid." Yeah. I'm overpaid by God. I'm overpaid by the way God gives me grace every single morning. I'm overpaid by brand new mercies that meet me. I'm overpaid by the protection God provides for me. I'm overpaid by the love God showers me. I'm overpaid. And so, as I want you to get your financial house together, that we might be stronger, better able to live in the way that God has, I also want you to get your faith together. As Jesus was making this analogy, he tells them that this cost is going to be great. And I think it was intentional to scare away anybody that can only think short term. Sometimes that's what our Christian life is like. Sure. Oh, man, we're going to have to give up this. Or, man, I can't do this. And, oh, man, I don't have this. Short-term thinking. But God wants some people that will say, "But the reason that you're here," listen to this. Jesus is teaching, right? He's teaching to this crowd of folks, and they've crowded around him because of what he's already done. Have we ever thought about this, right? Like before social media, before there are all these amazing ways to share the work that's happening, Jesus is drawing crowds in multiple cities. How could you be drawing crowds in multiple cities, God? How are all these people coming to see you? They're coming to see you because you've already done so many things that go beyond what any expectation could say. That people now just want to see if the stories are true. They want to show up to see, is it true that the man that could not see has been given his sight? Is it true that the woman with the issue of blood is now fully whole? Is it true that the lepers have been all messed up, but now their bodies are right? Is it true that the little baby that had been dead is now up and walking around? Is it true that this is the one that has been blessing every single way that he went? And if that is true, I just want to go see it. So when they get there, they come expecting God just to do the miracles. They want God just to lay the hands. They want God to raise up somebody else. They want God to heal somebody else. So when God says, "If you really want to follow me, it's going to be a cost." People say, "Well, I ain't coming for all that. I came for the show. I wanted to see the performance. At best, I wanted to benefit from the performance. But I didn't want it to cost me nothing. But I'm here to say that for those of you that can have a longer idea of what God can do, you can have a larger view about this faithful budget that you can be living in. You recognize that although it may cost you a little something on the front end, the benefits on the back end far outweigh the investment that you made at the beginning. Because I heard him say, all of those who believe in me shall not die, but have life eternal. I heard him say that there's a crown with jewels available for all of those that believe. I heard him say that there will be those that make it over the Jordan into the promised land. I heard him say that eternal life might be our home. That we would be able to be with the heavenly host, not just in this life, but in the one to come. I heard our God say that it's worth the investment on this end for the benefits that are on their way. I pray that you are willing to count the cost. Pray with me.